The Book of Daniel, number 149, The Mystery of God Revealed, Uniting Divinity and Humanity, Key Takeaways. This article delves into the intricate historical and prophetic connections within the Bible, particularly focusing on Daniel chapter 11, Ezekiel's two sticks prophecy, and the messages of Paul and John. It explores the concept of the mystery of God, which entails the joining of divinity with humanity, as exemplified by Christ's work of atonement. The article traces the history of this mystery from biblical times to significant events such as the message of Jones and Wagoner in 1888 and the events surrounding September 11, 2001. Through biblical texts and historical analysis, it seeks to elucidate the symbolic and spiritual significance of these events in the context of eschatological prophecy. Daniel chapter 11 contains historical representations, including the Protestant horn of the earth beast. Ezekiel's prophecy of the two sticks serves as a reference point for understanding the mystery of God, symbolizing the joining of divinity and humanity. The message of the mystery of God, identified by Paul, aligns with Ezekiel's prophecy and John's revelation. The work of atonement, symbolized by the joining of the two sticks, commenced with the arrival of the third angel. The perfect fulfillment of this joining represents the mystery of God, as described by Paul, which finds its culmination in the 144,000. Historical dates, such as 1611, publication of the King James Bible, and 1831, publication of Miller's Message, symbolize the combination of divinity and humanity. Events like the Declaration of Independence in 1776 and the publication of the Time of the End magazine in 1996 provide further symbolic representations. The transition from the lamb to the dragon symbolizes the beginning of the earth beast's reign. The timeline of judgment against Judah and the prophecy of Daniel chapter 8 are linked through historical and symbolic connections. Paul's ministry emphasizes the mystery of God, which is Christ in believers, representing the union of divinity and humanity. Ezekiel's prophecy of the joining of two sticks signifies the unity of Israel, foreshadowing the spiritual temple. The arrival of the seventh angel, marked by September 11, 2001, signifies the culmination of the mystery of God. Sister White's writings reinforce the concept of spiritual renewal and resurrection, paralleling Ezekiel's vision of dry bones being brought back to life. The Laodicean message, repeatedly rejected throughout history, is intimately connected to the mystery of God. Biblical texts and prophetic messages serve as guides for understanding and interpreting present manifestations within the church. The restoration of the prophetic gift accompanies the third angel's message, bringing unity and clarity to believers. We have been considering the history represented in verse 40 of Daniel chapter 11. We are now addressing the internal line of history within the verse, which represents the history of the Protestant horn of the earth beast. We are employing the joining of Ezekiel's two sticks in chapter 37 as the point of reference to identify the mystery of God by Christ in joining his divinity with humanity when the third angel arrives. Line upon line, the message of the mystery of God that John identified as finishing during the sounding of the seventh trumpet was specifically sent to Laodicea by the Apostle Paul. Ezekiel's, John's, and Paul's testimony aligns with the same mystery of God that was represented in the message of Jones and Wagoner in 1888, which was the message to Laodicea. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 verse 1-3. The work of atonement, of joining the two sticks of divinity and humanity, began when the third angel arrived. But Paul is addressing the final and perfect fulfillment of the joining of the two sticks, which is the mystery of God. He therefore identifies the message as the message to Laodicea that first arrived in 1856 and then was repeated in 1888 and then found its perfect fulfillment on September 11, 2001. Paul identifies the temple in a twofold nature when he presented the mystery of God, which was to be finished in the sounding of the seventh trumpet. He divides that mystery into a head and a body. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Colossians 1:18-25. Christ is the head, which is to have preeminence in all things, and his church is the body. Together, the head and the body represent the combination of divinity with humanity. And another important fact is also identified. The relation of the head and the body is that the head is to have the preeminence over the body. With mankind, who were created in God's image, the higher powers, the head, are to have rulership over the lower powers, the body. Together, they form one being, or in the terminology of the temple which John was to measure, they represent the holy place, humanity, the body, and the most holy place, divinity, the head. How these two are joined together into one stick or one body is the work of at-one-ment. Paul continues, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Colossians 1:25-29. The perfection of the 144,000 which presents every man perfect in Christ is the mystery of God, which is the combination of divinity with humanity, or as Paul states it, is Christ in humanity the hope of glory. In the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, that mystery is accomplished. When Ezekiel identifies that joining, he employs two sticks, one for the northern kingdom and one for the southern kingdom, to identify the symbolic link, which represents the temple by the number 46. The stick of the symbolic link of 46 is to be joined with the symbolic link of 220. 220 is the symbol of divinity combined with humanity. From the publishing of the King James Bible in 1611 unto the first presentation of Miller's Message in 1831, and thereafter the publishing of the Message in 1833 in the Vermont Telegraph, is 220 years. Miller's Message was the formalization of the increase of knowledge that was derived from the Bible when the Book of Daniel was unsealed in 1798. At the beginning date of 1611, there was a divine document published, and at the ending date of 1831, there was a human publication based upon the divine truth that was unsealed in 1798. Those three dates represent not only 220 years, but also the structure of the Hebrew word truth, which is created by combining the first, 13th, and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet to create the word truth. A divine publication at the beginning and a human publication at the ending, and 1798 represents an increase of knowledge which would manifest a class of wicked persons who rejected that knowledge, and thus represented the 13th letter, which is a symbol of rebellion. That link of 220 years was established in the movement of the first angel, and the movement of the third angel provides a second witness. In 1776, the divine document, the Declaration of Independence, was published, And 220 years later, in 1996, a human document, The Time of the End magazine, was published. The human document was derived from the increase of knowledge that was produced at the time of the end in 1989, which, as with 1798, produced a rebellion to the divine message represented by the Declaration of Independence. The increase of knowledge in 1996 identified the future for America as it loses the freedom and independence it had declared in 1776 at the soon coming Sunday Law. This provides a second witness that the number 220 represents the combination of divinity with humanity. And that second witness was set forth with the signature of truth and was represented by a first witness in the history of the first angel, the first, and the second witness in the history of the third angel, the last. 1776 also marked the beginning of a period that preceded the actual beginning of the Earth Beast as the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy. In that preparation period, the signature of truth was once again identified by 1776, marking the beginning of the United States, and 1798 marking the beginning of the United States as the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy. In the middle of that beginning and ending history, 1789 marked the center letter as 13 colonies ratified the Constitution. Each of the three dates represent the speaking of the United States, with the Declaration of Independence in 1776, the Constitution in 1789, and the Alien and Sedition Acts in 1798. That history represents 22 years, which is a tithe or a tenth of 220, so it also represents a symbol of the combination of divinity with humanity. Its representation is of the history of the Earth Beast, who is portrayed as beginning as a lamb, divinity, and ending as a dragon, humanity. 1776 begins with the Declaration of Independence, marking divinity, and the Alien and Sedition Acts represent humanity. And in those 22 years that preceded the beginning of the Earth Beast's reign as the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy, the transition from the lamb to the dragon is typified. The beginning of the 2520 years of judgment against the southern kingdom of Judah is connected with the beginning of the 2300 years of Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. The trampling down of the sanctuary and host in Judah began in 6777 BC, and the 2300-year prophecy began 220 years later in 457 BC. The stick of the southern kingdom of Judah is linked with the symbol of 46 to the northern kingdom, and also linked to the 2300 years by the link of 220. Paul claimed to be the minister of the dispensation of God, and then defined the dispensation he was a minister of as the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He further addresses this truth when writing to Timothy, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. Paul here says that the mystery of godliness is God manifest in the flesh. God is the head, and the flesh is the body. The mystery of godliness is Christ in the believer. It is the joining of divinity with humanity. Paul also uses the metaphor of marriage, as did Hosea. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Ephesians 5:30-32. In chapter 37, when Ezekiel identifies the covenant of the last days, which is the renewed covenant with those identified as the 144,000, he provides an illustration of the joining of two sticks. Those two sticks, line upon line, include Hosea's and Paul's marriage metaphor. When they were joined together, they were to be no more two nations, but one nation, forever. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 37:22-23. The joining together of Ezekiel identifies when they are no more divided, nor do they sin any longer, when they are cleansed, and when God is their only God, and they have only one king. On October 22nd, the messenger of the covenant suddenly came to the temple to cleanse his people. He came to receive a kingdom, whose people, according to Peter, were then to be a kingdom of priests and kings. On that date, the bridegroom also came to the marriage, which is the mystery Paul and Hosea identify, which represents the combination of divinity with humanity. John identifies that the mystery, which Paul identifies as Christ in you, the hope of glory, would be finished in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Revelation 10:7. The seventh angel is the third woe, which arrived on September 11, 2001. The seventh angel began to sound when the third angel arrived in the history of 1844 and onward, but the rebellion of 1863 prevented the work from being finished. The third angel arrived, and the seventh trumpet began to sound again on September 11, 2001, and this time the mystery of God is to be finished. That mystery is the combination of divinity with humanity, which produces the 144,000, who then become God's ensign and army. For this reason, chapter 37 of Ezekiel begins with Ezekiel being taken to a valley of dead, dry bones. Those bones represent Laodicean Adventism on September 11, 2001, and for this reason Paul addresses his gospel of the mystery of God to the Laodiceans. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:1-3. This is also the description Sister White associates with the dead dry bones of Ezekiel. But not only does this simile of the dry bones apply to the world, but also to those who have been blessed with great light, for they also are like the skeletons of the valley. They have the form of men, the framework of the body, but they have not spiritual life. But the parable does not leave the dry bones merely knit together into the forms of men, for it is not enough that there is symmetry of limb and feature. The breath of life must vivify the bodies that they may stand upright and spring into activity. These bones represent the house of Israel, the church of God, and the hope of the church is the vivifying influence of the Holy Spirit. The Lord must breathe upon the dry bones that they may live. The Spirit of God, with its vivifying power, must be in every human agent, that every spiritual muscle and sinew may be in exercise. Without the Holy Spirit, without the breath of God, there is torpidity of conscience, loss of spiritual life. Many who are without spiritual life have their names on the church records, but they are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They may be joined to the church, but they are not united to the Lord. They may be diligent in the performance of a certain set of duties and may be regarded as living men. But many are among those who have a name that thou livest and art dead. Unless there is genuine conversion of the soul to God, unless the vital breath of God quickens the soul to spiritual life, unless the professors of truth are actuated by heaven-born principle, they are not born of the incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. Unless they trust in the righteousness of Christ as their only security. Unless they copy his character, labor in his spirit, they are naked, they have not on the robe of his righteousness. The dead are often made to pass for the living, for those who are working out what they term salvation after their own ideas have not God working in them to will and to do of his good pleasure. This class is well represented by the valley of dry bones Ezekiel saw in vision. Review and Herald, January 17, 1893. The Laodicean message was first presented to Adventism in 1856, the very year the Lord opened up the advancing light of the seven times of Leviticus chapter 26. The message of 1856, consisting of an internal message calling for repentance and an external message of prophecy, was rejected in 1863. The Laodicean message of the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, was repeated in 1888 by Elders Jones and Wagner, and that message was also identified as the message to Laodicea by Sister White. Line upon line, Ezekiel chapter 37 begins with Ezekiel being spiritually conveyed to September 11, 2001, where he is given a view of Laodicean Adventism, who are dead in sins and trespasses. He is told to give two distinct prophetic messages. The first produces a joining together, but the bodies are still dead. The second prophecy calls for the message of the four winds to breathe life into the bones. The message of the four winds is the sealing message of the 144,000, which identifies four angels holding the four winds. Sister White identifies those four winds as an angry horse, seeking to break loose, for it is being restrained. The angry horse of Islam is seeking to break loose and bring death and destruction in its path, as it did on September 11, 2001, and it will be released at the soon coming Sunday Law. That message brings the dead bodies into a unified army that is standing upon its feet. That unified army is brought to its feet in response to the message of the seventh angel, for in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, the mystery of the 144,000's marriage with Christ will be accomplished. Then Ezekiel is shown the joining of two sticks that become one nation. Those two sticks are the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, which are joined together as one nation at the conclusion of their mutual scattering periods of 2,520 years. Their mutual conclusion produces a spiritual temple, represented by the 46 years at the beginning and at the ending of the mutual scattering times. We will continue this study in the next article. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Two texts are here set before God's people, two conditions for success. The law spoken by Jehovah himself and the spirit of prophecy are the two sources of wisdom to guide his people in every experience. Deuteronomy 4:6, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, who shall say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The law of God and the spirit of prophecy go hand in hand to guide and counsel the church. And whenever the church has recognized this by obeying his law, the spirit of prophecy has been sent to guide her in the way of truth. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This prophecy points out clearly that the remnant church will acknowledge God in his law and will have the prophetic gift. Obedience to the law of God and the spirit of prophecy has always distinguished the true people of God, and the test is usually given on present manifestations. In Jeremiah's day, the people had no question about the message of Moses, Elijah, or Elisha, but they did question and put aside the message sent of God to Jeremiah until its force and power was wasted and there was no remedy but for God to carry them away into captivity. Likewise, in the days of Christ, the people had learned that Jeremiah's message was true, and they persuaded themselves to believe that if they had lived in the days of their fathers, they would have accepted his message. But at the same time, they were rejecting Christ's message, of whom all the prophets had written. As the third angel's message arose in the world, which is to reveal the law of God to the church in its fullness and power, the prophetic gift was also immediately restored. This gift has acted a very prominent part in the development and carrying forward of this message. As differences of opinion have arisen in reference to interpretations of scriptures and methods of labor, calculated to unsettle the faith of believers in the message and lead to disunion in the work, the spirit of prophecy has always thrown light on the situation. It has always brought union of thought and harmony of action to the body of believers. In every crisis that has arisen in the development of the message and the growth of the work, those who have stood firmly by the law of God and the light of the Spirit of prophecy have triumphed, and the work has prospered in their hands. Loma Linda Messages 34.